All right, we're talking about making your faith your own. Talked a little bit about the fact that I've observed a journey that happens for most people, where you move from a place of really, students move from a place of really having a faith that is their faith because it's their parents' faith, or because it's their friend's faith, and that you come from that point, usually when you're growing up in a church, and hopefully the journey leads you at some point to where your faith becomes your own. The question I usually think of, and I would ask if someone ever said, well, I don't know if my faith is my own, is that if you really think about it, if you think about the people in your lives that have a relationship with God, maybe even people that you admire their faith and their relationship with God, if tomorrow they completely rejected God and said, I've been faking it this whole time, I thought that I had a relationship, but I really don't. I really was just putting on a show for people, and I'm not a follower of Christ, and I don't even want to follow Christ. I want to follow Buddha or whatever. I just want to follow my own spirituality or whatever. Would that change your faith? Would that change your relationship with God? If that happened to your parents tomorrow, if that happened to friends you respect tomorrow, would you go, oh, maybe I will check out this Buddha thing. Maybe I will check out this free spirituality idea. Or would you go, you know what? I wouldn't give up this relationship I have with my father for anything. Again, I'm okay if you're in the place where you go, that would shake me down. And I don't know if I'd have a really hard time with that. I don't know if I would continue to have a relationship with God after that. It's okay to be in that place. But part of the reason why we're talking through these things is I want to encourage you to move to a place and start asking yourself the questions you need to ask that will get you to a place where your faith is truly your own and the relationship that you have with God is a unique relationship just you and He have, that isn't based on anyone else's faith. It isn't based on what other people have told you about faith, but it is truly your own. Last week we talked about the idea of examining yourself. I just thought about this. Pass these around. You guys can have this. Talked about the idea of examining yourself. And that is actually a good thing. Paul encouraged believers to do that. That it's not a bad thing to examine your relationship and ask yourself the question, am I really in the faith? Do I really have a personal relationship with God where I've trusted Him to the point of fully believing in Him and what He says? And hopefully you guys did that last week, that you didn't just push that out and go, yeah, I'm a believer, I'm not even going to think about it, but that you actually took time to examine yourself last week. We talked about the fact that believing in others will not save you. And I know that's strong wording, but it's truth. Jesus was challenging the people of His time to stop buying into what people were telling them about God, but actually start studying and understanding the truth about who God was and who the Messiah was, and to ground their faith in truth. And we finished up with looking at John 3:16 and the idea of believing in God and what that means. That means believing God to the point of complete trust, that you completely trust your life to God. That kind of a faith is saving faith. Really, there's a lot of mutations of that in Christian circles that that I'm convinced, based on Scripture, is it's not faith. Jesus came, God sent his Son because he loved the world so much that those who trust him completely would have everlasting life. And that's very, very important. Tonight we're going to continue kind of with this idea, kind of look at a different aspect of it. We're going to look at your personal responsibility to God. But let me pray and we'll get into what we're talking about. Lord, thank you for another night to study truth. I thank you for your truth. I had a hard time preparing for tonight. Really the last couple weeks have been difficult just because you say some things that are just pretty shocking, pretty hard to swallow, and it's hard for me to repeat your words. But you want us to understand the truth. You want us to hear from you the truth so that we don't fool ourselves into believing that we have a relationship with you, that we know you, when we really don't. And I just pray tonight as we study these passages that we would hear your word, that we would hear you speaking directly to us through your words, and that we would make whatever decisions we need to make tonight in regards to you. Pray just help us on this journey that we're on, and help us to begin to make our faith our own. Faith that will last forever. Pray you'd help me just to make your words clear tonight. Pray this on your name. Romans 14. I'm just going to show it up here. You guys can actually, if you want to turn somewhere, flip somewhere, you guys can turn to Matthew chapter 7. But we're going to start with this passage here in Romans 14. 663 is Matthew 7. So flip to that quick, but then look right up here at Romans 14. I'll just tell you the context of this passage is passing judgment. Really, this passage is about passing judgment on other people, and that we as believers should not pass judgment on each other. I'm not going to talk a lot about this tonight, but passing judgment does not mean calling each other out on truth that is clear in Scripture. We are called to do that. If you see me sinning, your obligation is to check me on that and go, Nate, what in the heck are you doing? You need to check that behavior. And that's absolutely essential to how the body is intended to work. Judgment is when you have a standard that's not a biblical standard, and it's not a wrong standard necessarily either, but you expect others to live up to your standard. And Paul's response to that kind of thinking is verse 1. If you just, you guys don't have it open. I'll tell you what verse 1 says in Romans 14. It says, "Accept those whose faith is weak, without quarreling over disputable matters." If you spend, you probably will spend the rest of your life in the church, disputable matters become an issue, especially as you get later on in life. Disputable matters are things that the Bible's not clear about. People will tell you, don't go watch Harry Potter. They will tell you, don't go watch, I don't know, what's the movie with Bella and the Twilight, yeah, that movie. They will tell you not to celebrate Halloween, not to have a Christmas tree in your house, that if you're going to worship God as a body, you have to worship on Sundays. You can't worship on Saturday nights, as some churches do. If you're playing a game, you can play any game, you just can't play cards. That there's something inherently evil about cards.
Those are all issues, and there's a million more, that are disputable. And Paul's point here is, or his what he's talking about here is he's going, if it's a disputable matter, if by your conscience you cannot go see Twilight, do not go see Twilight. I would strongly tell you not to go see Twilight. If that wounds your conscience, if that's against your conscience, you feel like that's sin for you, do not go see Twilight. But you do not pass judgment on others who do see Twilight. And that's his point coming up to this passage in verse 10, which says this. It says, "You then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Or why do you treat your brother or sister with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, 'As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God.' So then we will all give account of ourselves to God." See, at this time, they were concerned primarily about meat sacrificed to idols. This was a big dividing issue in the church at that time. There were people who believed that if I go and buy this inexpensive meat that had been sacrificed to idols and to gods, to false gods, then that's no problem. It's a way to get some inexpensive meat. There were other people who believed if you bought that meat and you ate that meat, you're actually participating in the sin of worshiping idols. Okay? Dividing issue. And if you really think about the cultural context and think about the logic behind that, both of them have very good arguments for why you should eat meat or you shouldn't eat meat. But it was not a biblical issue. And so he's saying, do not pass judgment on someone who eats meat or meat sacrificed to idols. Do not treat people with contempt who eat meat sacrificed to idols. Or if you're someone who eats meat sacrificed to idols, don't treat with contempt someone who doesn't eat meat that's sacrificed to idols. Don't pass judgment on them. And the reason he gives is because every single one of us will stand before God and give an account for our life. Explain our life. I'm not going to have to give account for your life. You're not going to have to give account for my life. I have seen Twilight. I am going to stand before God and have to give account for the fact that I saw Twilight. Now, I believe it's not a problem that I saw Twilight. But I'm the one who has to stand before God and explain to God why I watched Twilight. You're not going to have to stand before God and explain that. Don't judge me for watching Twilight. And I won't judge you, pass judgment on you, for not watching Twilight. We all are going to stand before God, and every day of our life, we are going, and every moment of our lives, we are going to have to give account. I won't be there when you give account. You won't be there when I give account. Your parents will not stand before God and give account for you. Your friends will not stand before God and give account for you. God is going to ask you about you. You will stand alone before him. And you will have to explain your life. What will you say? See, I think sometimes we get comfortable with the fact that we surround ourselves with people who love God. Maybe we have parents that love God. Maybe we have siblings that love God. We come to youth group and surround ourselves with people who love God. And we somehow take comfort in the fact that the people around us love God. So that makes me okay with God. It doesn't. Those people are going to be nowhere to be seen when you stand and give account before God. You will stand before him and then you will fall to your knee in submission to him and you will make account for your life. And on that day, you will not be able to say, you know what, my parents trusted you with their lives. Look at how they loved people. My brother became a missionary. Look how amazing that is. Look at all the good stuff he did. I went to a youth group where those people loved you, God. He's going to go, what about your life? What about you? And there's really only a couple ways that that encounter with God is going to go. I don't know exactly what that encounter is going to look like. The Bible gives a little bit of a hint, but even that's kind of cryptic, and we don't know exactly what that looks like. But it's really, the essence of how that's going to go is going to go really a couple ways. First way we learn about in Matthew chapter 7. Hopefully you guys have that open. Says this. Says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. This is a picture of that time where you stand alone before God. It's just you and him. And you're giving an account of your life. You're explaining your life to God. And there will be people, possibly people in this room, who will stand before God and they will say, it says many will say this. The word many means a great number. That bothers me. That a great number of people will stand before God and they will say, you're my Lord. Hey, Lord, I know you. They'll kneel before him to give account to their life and they'll say, hey, Lord, I know you, God. I went to your church. And they'll list off, they'll go, you know what? I did all these amazing things, all these amazing Christian things. I went to camp, and I went to youth group every week, and I went to church every week, and I taught Sunday school, and I did a mission trip to Mexico, and I was a pastor, I was a missionary, whatever. And he will say, I don't know you. And you don't know me. You think you know me. But it's kind of like as much as I know Julia Roberts. I think I've seen almost every movie Julia Roberts has ever done. And I know what her hair color is and what she looks like and how she smiles and the way she giggles, and I can say, I know Julia Roberts. Do I know Julia Roberts? I don't know Julia Roberts at all. If I went up to her, she would go, I don't know you. Get away from me, you weirdo. Some of us, hopefully not some of us, many people who would probably call themselves Christians, will stand before God, and this will be the scene. You'll say, away from me, evildoer. And I guarantee you, there will be people who have done amazing things, apparent amazing things for God, for Christ, who will be in this group. There will be missionaries. There will be pastors. There will be people who never missed a Sunday. Say, I know you, Lord. I hope this is not true, but at least right now I can guarantee you. I can't guarantee you. Because God only knows hearts. I am pretty sure that my dad's gonna be one of these people. I hope that changes. But my dad was a pastor for years. But he is clearly not a follower of that.
and stand before God and say, hey, I know you. I pastor churches.
He goes on and says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the wind blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. He's explaining the difference here. Because you go, what's the difference between people who go, Lord, Lord, I know you, I did great things for you, I'm a follower of you, and he goes, I don't know you. What's the difference between that person and the person who goes, Lord, 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 and the Lord goes, yeah, hey, Nate, what's the difference? And he's explaining that everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like someone who builds a house on a rock. Rain came down, streams rose, winds blew, beat against the house. It didn't fall because its foundation was secure. It was building on the right thing. The right thing was hearing God's word and believing God's word and putting God's word into practice into life, which just happens if you truly take God at his word. If you believe God you look at God's word and you go, that's the truth, it's going to affect your life. It's going to change you. But anyone who hears God and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house, same kind of house, rain came down, streams rose, winds blew, beat against the house, it was on sand, destroyed. Great crash. See, guys, there are many, many people who are desperately trying to get into heaven. And so they come to church and they figure out what a church-going person looks like and they pattern their life after that. There are others who are desperately trying to follow God with their lives. And they're different. They're changed. Are those the kind of people who get a reward in heaven when this life is over? Yes, but that's not the issue. The issue isn't whether I get to go to heaven or not. The issue is whether I submit my life to God. I hear him, I trust him, and I obey him. I live for him. He has my life and everything that's in it. See, there are people who are consistently living the way a person who is going to heaven tries to live and have no relationship with God whatsoever. Crash. The wind's going to blow, beat, be destroyed. There are those who desire to do the bare minimum to go to heaven. What do I have to do to go to heaven? Just tell me what that is. Give me a list. I'm there. I'm doing it. And there are those who desire with all their heart. They trust the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, strength. Sometimes those lives look similar, but they are so, so different. Guys, on that day, some will claim to know God, but will not. I hate that I know this. I mean, I'm glad that I know this because I can warn you guys about it. I can warn myself about it. But it kills me beyond belief to think. I love you guys. It kills me to think that there is even one of you guys that will kneel before God and he'll go, I don't know you. It kills me.
I don't want you to keep building on sand because it's not going to last. The difference between these two people are the people who believe God, who open up God's word, they understand what God's word says, and they go, I believe you, God, when you say this, and I'm in it, and it, my life's different. My life's changed. I trust you with everything that I am. And I'm going to live that way. Flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 781. Philippians chapter 3. This is the other way it's going to go. For those who do know the Lord, this is another scene that the Bible gives us. Starting verse 12, it says, if anyone builds his foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. The day he's talking about is this day where you will stand before God alone and give account. Because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it's burned up, the builder will suffer loss, and yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through flames. He's describing the life of someone who has trusted their life to God completely, and what it will look like for them when they stand before him. And this, it may just be a small picture of what happens. We don't know. But this is definitely part of what happens. The context of this is that Paul's talking to leaders of the Corinthian church. And he's talking about their ministry, how they spend their time, investing in people. But it applies to our lives too, and how we spend our time. What we do with our lives as followers of Christ. If you know Christ, if you know God, and you're living for him, how you live your life for Christ. And he says we will stand before him alone, in front of him, kneeling before him, giving account for our life. And as we give account for our life, some of what we have done, some of our days, some of our moments, will be like gold and silver and costly stones. Diamonds, rubies, precious things. And those will go into this pile. Some of the things that we do will be like wood, hay, straw. Temporary things. Things that don't last. Things that rot. They'll be thrown into the pile. Along with the gold, the silver, and the rubies, which are things that last. Things that are that hold up. And that pile will be consumed in fire. The stuff that's wood, the stuff that's hay, the stuff that's straw, the stuff that's temporary will burn up. The stuff that lasts will stay. What he's trying to tell us here, encourage us to do, is he's trying to give us a picture of what's going to happen. This is a fixed day. It could be tonight. Could be tomorrow. Could be next week. Could be years from now. I don't know. But there will come a time when you stand before God and you give account for your life, and some of your life is going to be wood, hay, and straw. Temporary stuff. Some of your life will be stuff that lasts. What you do, how you live your life, it will be evaluated by God. Now, the evaluation that goes on is not whether or not you're truly a follower of Christ, because these are followers of Christ that he's talking about, people who have trusted Jesus with their lives. The question is whether you live for temporary things, for things that are not going to last, or you're living for things that will last or be evaluated. Some of it will be burned up, some of it will remain. 1 Corinthians 4:5, which is It's probably just on the next page.
It says, therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in the darkness and will expose the motives of people's hearts. At that time, each will receive their praise from God. He's saying not only that will your actions, will your life, how you spend your life, whether you spend it on temporary things or eternal things, that will be evaluated. And you will experience loss. I don't know what that will be about. I don't know how that will feel. I don't know what that is. But you will experience loss over that stuff that burned up, that temporary stuff that you wasted your life on, that I wasted my life on. But also what will be judged, what will be evaluated is your hearts, your motives. Because what may look like eternal living things, us living for eternal things, might be ugliness in our hearts. Our motives may be dark. You know what your motives are. You know what your heart is. So does God. And that will be laid open for him to evaluate. My encouragement to you guys is that this is to know that this day is coming. And honestly to understand that we have no clue when this day is coming. But for sure it is coming. Will you stand alone before God? When you stand alone before God, what are you going to say? You are going to have to give account. What will you say? Will he know you when you stand before him? Oh, that's got to be dealt with. And if he will know you and you know him and you have this relationship with him, what kind of foundation are you building on? Are you building on that? The rock. I didn't say that right. What kind of foundation are you building on? Are you building on the rock or are you building on the sand? Do you believe that I'm just going to do the bare minimum to get to heaven and that's all I need? I don't have to have this relationship with God? Or do you trust God completely? And then on that foundation, what are you building? Are you building stuff that's going to last? Are you building with silver and gold and rubies? Are you living for things that will glorify God? Are you living for things that love him and love other people? Are you living for things with proper motives behind what you're doing? Or are you living your days with stuff that's just going to burn up when evaluated? What do you guys need to do tonight? Knowing that this day is coming, what do you need to do? What needs to change? What are three lessons that God is teaching you or reminding you of tonight? I'll give you guys just a sec to fill those in.